passages I want to look at together this morning. One that we read already, Psalm 40. Psalm 40. You can turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 6. Psalm 40, verse 6 says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering have you not required." And we'll be coming back to Psalm 40, but if you could also please turn to Exodus chapter 21. These are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, in the seventh year he shall go out free. That's kind of straightforward, right? You're serving, you serve the guy for 6 years, seventh year, you're free. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. Again, if you come in there single guy, you leave a single guy, no issues. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. So if he's married, and he becomes a servant, and for 6 years, the seventh year, he goes free with his wife. But here's a little catch in verse 4. If his master has given him a wife, so he came in single, but now his master's given him a wife. That's the situation. And she had borne him sons or daughters. The wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. Can you imagine? But then we read, "And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges, and shall also bring him to the door, to the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." And many years ago, probably a couple decades ago, a very long time ago, I remember one of the elders at a breaking of bread meeting. He read Psalm 40, verse 6. "Sacrificed and offered you did not desire. My ears have you opened." And then he read this passage in Exodus 21, verse 6. About this guy's ear getting a big hole punched through it. And he was relating that to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a couple weeks ago when I was praying about what to share, when I was reading through the Psalms, I came through this verse. Oh, let's investigate this. We just kind of digging into Psalm 40 and verse 6 the last little while. So Psalm 40 verse 6 again says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire." Well, then that question is, well, what then, Lord, do you desire? My ears have you opened. My ears have. And that's the burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Well, what do you require? The next verse says, "Lo, I come." And so this is it's a messianic psalm. It's as if the Lord Jesus is speaking. He's the one that is coming. And so just connecting that back with Exodus chapter 21, verse 6. If the servant shall plainly say, "I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children," he shall not go free. And they bring him to the before the judges, and he has a hole put in his ear. Now, just to be clear, about this man getting this hole in his ear, it's not, it's a significant piece of flesh that's missing from your ear. It's not like when you get your ears pierced, you see some teenage guys my age, they get their ears pierced when they're 16, and then when they're my age, you can't see them. There's just this tiny little dimple there, which once was a hole. You know what I'm talking about, where that hole's filled in? This hole is a no-doubter. Like, it's not gonna fill in. And you see him in the marketplace, you know, that guy's a slave, and he loves his wife and his children. I can almost imagine an unfiltered child, the first time they see a man like this, like, look, mommy, look at the hole in that man's ear. It's probably something that you just can't pass by, or you just can't miss. Well, this is I'll just apologize that I'm a little low on sleep right now, so if I lose my place or stumble a little bit, please forgive me. But no excuses. So this guy, what motivated this man to be pierced through in such a way? Well, it was his love for his wife, his love for his children. And for all who see this piercing, this hole in his ear, again, it says here that they're to take an awl and bore a hole. So that this is a hand tool, they're making a hole in this person's ear. But for all who see this hole that's been made, there would have been pain, there would have been blood, and you have a tool and you're boring a hole in someone's ear. But for all who see this piercing, this hole, there would be no doubt. You would never question the love that this man has for his wife and for his children, right? And we are the bride of Christ. And Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So sacrifice and offering, the Lord did not desire. The Lord desired a piercing through love. And my ears have you opened, says the Messiah. It reminds me of the words of the song, "What love it was that brought you down to the depths in which I lay, that made thee leave thy glory throne in servant's form to tread thy way. Yet lower still to death did go, that I might never judgment know." This servant man that refuses to walk free, he refuses to abandon his wife and his children from freedom, he bears the marks of his love for them the rest of his life. He bears the marks of this love forever. And likewise, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he bears the marks for his love for us, his bride. The marks of Calvary, he bears those marks forever. You remember after the resurrection, the disciples were in the upper room, and he enters the upper room, and Thomas is there, and he said, "Tell Thomas, don't be unbelieving." He says, "Reach hither your finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither your hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." So our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, in his resurrected body, he bears the marks of his love for each one of us. Isaiah 52 and 53, that servant song, it says this, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently." That is that he has thought to the future. And it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has thought to the future. "He shall be exalted and extolled." The word extolled means highly exalted. "And be very high. And indeed, he's been given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things on earth." There's just no one higher than this servant, the Messiah. But what does it say of him? It says, "As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." His visage or his appearance was more marred than any man, more so than a hole bore through the ear. The beard was plucked from his face. There was a crown of thorns whacked into his head. Soldiers struck him. Now, when you get someone that gets beat up on the face, strangers on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They didn't recognize him. When did they recognize him? Well, when he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it with his nail-pierced hands and gave it to them, then were their eyes opened. He was known to them in the breaking of the bread, and with his hands he broke the bread. You remember Mary at the empty tomb weeping, and all my thoughts here are about his message was more marred than any man. Mary's at the tomb weeping. And through watery eyes, she sees a man, but she's thinking it must be the gardener. until she hears his voice, Mary. And then she knows it's the Lord. So she didn't really, something about him, she didn't quite recognize it. I mean, she's not expecting him either. But you'd think if someone was in your house just a few days ago, someone that you knew fairly well, that you'd recognize him. On the beach, this was so after Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room ministry, in the upper room, after he said to Thomas, reach out your hand into my side. They were fishing. Anyways, on the beach, the morning that Peter's recommissioned to feed sheep and feed lambs, the Lord Jesus is making breakfast for them, and they get there. And it says, none of his disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Who are you? Why would they need to ask? Was there something about his appearance that they didn't, that this is the Lord, but his message was more marred than any man. And although it doesn't clearly say that he bears in his resurrected body the marks that he received before the crucifixion, definitely in his resurrected body, with his hands and his side, definitely those marks are in his resurrected body. Our Savior still bears, right now, the marks of love that he has for us, which he received at the cross. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Philippians says, God took upon him the form of a servant. He took upon him the form of a servant. And in humility, he made himself of no reputation. And something I struggle with is in marriage and in relationships. Sometimes my pride pops up and says, that was his fault or that was her fault. I'm clear on this one. And my pride likes to point the finger. And this is the reason why I'm in this predicament or whatever it is. And we're a little bit uncomfortable with being clothed with the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just not used to being clothed with. It's unnatural to us to be humble and in that Christ-like way that he took upon him. He made himself no reputation. And he was willing to go to the lowest of lows and then to the grave to be pierced through us. Humility, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He was willing to bear the shame. He despised shame, but he was willing to bear the shame. And the more we come become like the Lord Jesus Christ, the more willing we become to bear the shame. The Lord is still at work in my area in this life. I confess, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was betrayed by his own familiar friend. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Now, something about this guy, this servant man, after 6 years, and he's supposed to go before the judges. So his master and him, they go before the judges. It's kind of this public confession. It's a public confession. I love my wife. I'm willing to get my ear to the doorpost and a hand to boring a hole in it. It's a public confession of love for his wife. But I was thinking of kind of a modern day public confession. Before someone is baptized, baptism is a public confession, and we might ask them a question. You know, there's not any clear instructions, so you must ask this list of questions to someone before they're baptized. But we might ask, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day? Are you trusting in Christ alone to save from your sins? We might ask some sort of question like that. Maybe it's even simpler than that. And I wonder if at this, if just before this guy gets his ear drilled through, pierced through, I wonder if those, one of those elders at this kind of public, I'm just conjecture here, but I wonder, I could almost picture them, one of the elders saying, just as, you know, before someone's baptized, we ask for their confession of faith. I could almost hear them saying, do you love your wife? And at that moment, when he's before the elders, it doesn't matter that sometimes his wife burns supper. It doesn't matter that she's burnt out now and it's going to be cereal and toast. Maybe burnt toast, I don't know. But the only thing that matters in that moment is that this man loves his wife. Do you love your wife? Yes. Pierce them through. 6 years a slave, and the seventh year that it looked on him whom they pierced. And likewise, one day soon we will see the Lord Jesus Christ. They will look on him whom they have pierced. He's brought to the door that all that may enter in through the door might have eternal life. That was the door where that the wooden doorpost he was pierced through. So how would the wife feel if her husband was too embarrassed to have a big hole in his ear? And he's like, well, I don't want to walk around with that thing in my, like, I don't want to be pierced through like that. No. She would feel forsaken and betrayed and unloved. Now this slave, he purposed in his heart to love. It was not forced upon him. He willingly, of his own volition, did this. This was not a mandatory thing. We read that he could walk free. But it was voluntary. And God's will is love, but is not forced. And our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, he willingly loved us with a much, much greater love than me. I mean, our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself for us. And this week I was singing the song to the sheep in the field. Not that they really care, but he brought me into his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. And then there's another verse. So the Lord's the rock of my salvation, and his banner over me is love. You know, I haven't thought of that song in many years, and I heard it a very long time ago, but the Lord brought that to mind this week. He brought me, my bridegroom, he brought me into his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. He has loved me with an everlasting love. Thinking back to the wife of the man, it's a slave who gets his ear bore through. What she sees, that unsightly, ugly hole, the marks of her husband's love for her. She has no fear that her husband would ever leave her or forsake her. She is very secure in him. She can clearly see that he loves her. She honors him, respects him. She's comforted by him. She's at peace with him. She embraces him in all that he is. It is safe to lean on your beloved. Who does that, isn't it? How might we lean into our beloved Lord Jesus Christ? Our beloved bridegroom has loved us, his bride. And might our hearts desire to honor him. May we find comfort in him. May we know his peace. May he be our delight. May our hearts safely trust in him. And we fall short of singing this. We fall short of having wrong thoughts. But his kindness leads us to repentance. We cry unto the Lord. He hears our cry as we were singing. He brings us out of the miry clay and sets our feet upon the rock and establishes our loins. This is my beloved and this is my friend. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ear have you opened. My ears, sorry, have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering have you not required. Then said I, lo, I come. Lo, I come. His love for us was clearly put into action at the cross. Well, may these thoughts bless your heart this week, and we'll have a closing song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And I wondered if there would be someone that would to the Lord after that. So we'll sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.